Welcome to Nothing Ventured, a podcast exploring some of the lesser heard stories in tech and venture. Join me, Arish Shah, as I speak to founders, investors, and ecosystem operators to bring you insights from the roads less traveled. Hello and welcome to another episode of Nothing Ventured with me, Arish Shah. Today we have the absolute pleasure to be talking to Yana Abramova, who is managing partner at Pretty Awesome, a venture fund that is dedicated to helping European B2C businesses and B2B businesses within AI, fintech, and work life. Welcome, Yana. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much, Arish, for having me today.
No problem at all. So we're going to kick off by just talking about your journey into VC so that our listeners can get a bit of a background about where you're from. So what have you been doing prior to Pretty Awesome? What brought you into venture and, you know, where are you going from here?
Yeah, sure. So my journey into VC was quite natural. So I was always interested in technology. Essentially, I wanted to be an entrepreneur, but maybe too many ideas. So that's why I ended up working with different companies. So I was also lucky enough to work with quite hands-on on a very big infrastructure funds, so 1.5 billion funds. So I got it not from a VC side first of things, but more from legal financial structure and so even more complex things that we see. And slowly but surely, I started working with startups, helping them with strategy and money raising and so on. And so eventually shifted over to becoming a VC for private partners and now opening up to LPs.
Amazing. So your journey effectively was kind of via finance, but more traditional infrastructure sort of route and then into venture. And what does it kind of excite you about VC? What would you say is the state of VC at the moment, especially because we're seeing a lot of kind of emerging funds like Pretty Awesome coming through now, you know, which often are starting at quite low kind of AUM levels and then growing quite largely over the fund cycles. So where do you see VC going from here? And what is it that excited you most about getting into it?
So yeah, I think VC is a wonderful career, especially I'm specialized in early stage companies. And so this is something like where all the new companies are getting started and just, you know, trying to revolutionize the world of the tech and the world overall. So it's very exciting to work with many companies at the same time. And they could be from different industries, but we specialize on AI, fintech and the future of work life companies. So overall, the state of VC, how I see this, I would say we're seeing more and more new funds appear because, you know, the VC is an industry that has been around in the US for quite a while, like, you know, technology wise, but a bit younger in Europe, but also well established here. So we keep on seeing more and more funds for a very simple reason that all the technology become explored in a way that every single niche become so big that you have to have new funds that start specializing on certain things. Otherwise, we lose value of the venture capitalists. So then everyone can be general investors in essence. But for the early stage, you need to specialize. So you need to bring value to your companies you work with. And this is a early stage require more and more knowledge of the industry.
So that's really interesting. So, I mean, obviously, I think, you know, over the course of the last several years, maybe even a decade, as you say, maybe these funds are becoming more and more generalist. And I actually think that a lot of the more established funds are also moving further and further along in terms of the life cycle of ventures, right? So they're now investing more at Series A, Series B and beyond, as opposed to necessarily a kind of pre-seed, seed and very early in the life of a venture. So just to kind of pick up on something you were talking about there, that specialization, it sounds to me like, is now a really important factor in terms of a differentiator for anyone coming into venture at the moment. So how do you see yourselves as kind of differentiators within the scope of AI, fintech, work life? Why those sectors? And how do you guys differentiate yourselves?
Yeah, sure. So just like as I said before, we focus on very specific areas. So it's AI, fintech and the future of work life, just because we believe that there are the areas that will see a lot of shift. So those are the areas that are going to be more important on a daily basis. So the core of our investment is a human being, the consumer, the person, the worker, and everything else around it. So the core thesis is how we can outsource things around us so we can focus on priorities from a B2B perspective. So this is our differentiation. This is the way we look at the companies that can help us to make our life easier from a B2B perspective so that we can, as humans, can spend more time at home, live longer, sleep better, and outsource everything else to the machines. So as such, as having been said, that we are very familiar with the series and we can bring a lot of value to the companies in that space. And secondary is that we do believe that these are the areas that can generate the next success stories. So the larger companies that will be the unicorns.
Right. So basically your focus is on creating time, if I can put it that way, for people, right? So you want to back ventures that are basically going to liberate human beings from, I guess, the monotony of work or of life. So anywhere that we can save time, that is going to be valuable to humans. And I think that's pretty clear from the last year and a half that anything that can save us time or can give us back time is massively, massively valuable. So if I were to ask you, what are the kind of core things that you're looking for when you back a venture beyond the kind of proposition around, is it going to save time? So if you were to look at a proposition that comes across your table, are you looking at the founder, the founding team? Are you looking at the venture itself, the market? What is the one thing that has to grab you first and foremost for you to think about investing? And then, you know, what do you look for thereafter?
Okay. Yeah. Thank you so much. That's a good question. So I would say the strange thing to answer is that one of my business partners in the fund always says that almost right at the beginning, you feel or you don't feel it. So for example, while it's not a very academic approach, is it true that the good ones you can always feel and tell right away? Forget about the business plans. Forget everything else. It's all about the people. It's an early stage. It's all about the people. It's about the energy. It's about the idea. So then you can always tell right away the good ones. The others, they require more work and can become extremely successful, but then it's, you know, you need to spend more time with them. So what is absolutely must for entrepreneurs is a drive. So we are interested in entrepreneurs that are immigrants because they usually have a lot of hunger to succeed. But then also we look for people who actually can build and can visualize large businesses and very persistent people that take all the efforts to go fast and be ambitious, but also work hard. So all these things cannot be written on the business plans. So while we look at the business plans, we just want to understand how the people think at the beginning and then whether they can think logically and then the numbers make sense. But we also know that all these numbers are wrong anyhow, and the companies either will do much better or much worse. So we focus a lot on the founders and the idea, on the market at that given time, and also on our view how we can work with these companies. So how we can help as pre-chosen ventures.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting the difference between European, UK kind of venture versus the US. It's something that I talk about a fair amount. In the US, I think there's much more willingness to take risk, especially at early stage. In the UK and Europe, it seems that there's, again, a lot more kind of risk aversion, or there's fewer funds maybe focused on idea stage ventures. And maybe that's propped up a little bit by the kind of tax-efficient investing from SEIS and EIS. But, you know, one of the core things that I obviously look at when I'm working with companies is financial metrics, right? But at early stage, those financial metrics don't exist. And as you say, you know, the only thing I can tell you 100% certainty about any kind of financial model is that it's going to be 99% inaccurate, right? So to your point, you have to focus on those kind of non-metric-based, non-financial kind of signals that tell you whether there is going to be something worth investing in. So one of the things you mentioned there was that you do focus on, say, migrant founders because you believe that they have much more drive and so on. I mean, that kind of opens up a whole discussion around diversity and where you see diversity within tech and venture at the moment. It'd be really interesting to get your thoughts there, especially because you aren't, I would say, necessarily the typical kind of VC, whether that's by, you know, nature of your gender or your nationality. So like, what have been the challenges there, and where do you see us in terms of diversity today as an industry, and where do you think it's going?
Yeah, I mean, we, in terms of diversity, we can speak about the cultural diversity and the gender diversity, right? So first of all, it's inevitable that everything will change, and then it's already changing. And I see that because, for example, only this week, I spoke to 5 female entrepreneurs, which has never happened before. It's just 5 in a row, and they're all brilliant, very determined. And I just, you know, I cannot be more happy to see more diversity in terms of gender. So it's true that the reason, because the like very historical reason, then, so, you know, VC is extension of technology, technology is extension of engineering, and engineering was, it had like a primary masculine environment. But that's right now the industry is changing, things are changing, and women bring a lot of value to say the least, that the majority, that the half of the population of the planet are like female. Then they have like different perspective on the world. They can bring different perspective on the table and they see things differently. And they are the primary consumers of things. But then, as I said before, like the gender diversity is not the only one diversity we want to be changing. There is also cultural diversity. So, and I truly believe that single cultural, like the teams that have like single cultural background cannot have the answers and cannot really build the fully like on a global scale company in the world. So automatically, you know, we are for sure the champion, the idea of having people from different cultures and different backgrounds and just having the approach is all encompassing as it gives us the most broad and deep understanding of what is required to build a global company. So that's why we focus on immigrated talents, because of they can bring the diversity, they've seen it all, and usually like a typical immigrant can travel between different countries, and then nowadays we have this digital nomad word, which is that you've been living in different countries, so you've seen different and interacted with different cultures. And while you're encompassing it all, you can truly have a full understanding of the world and what is going on. And only these teams can literally succeed in the current environment, what I believe.
Yeah, we had one of our guests put it in a really interesting way. She said, had there been a woman on the team that designed the mobile phone, it wouldn't have been black, because a black phone gets lost at the bottom of a handbag, which obviously is not something that I would have ever thought of, albeit that I now do have a man bag. But equally, and we've had other guests, of course, who've also said that, you know, they're maybe 30, 40, 50 years old. They don't have the insight that a Gen Zer has. And therefore, if you don't have a Gen Zer on your team, or you don't have someone from somewhere in East Africa on your team, there are certain elements and certain kind of lived experiences that you're never going to be able to tap into. So that diversity actually is not just about empowerment and bringing that cultural and gender diversity into your business just for the sake of it, because, you know, that in itself is a good thing, but it isn't necessarily the thing that will drive it forward. But actually, it'll help you be a better business, because you'll be able to kind of tap into consumers in a way that you maybe haven't been able to. So actually, just kind of picking on that point a little bit, like, what are the challenges been that you've faced as you've been kind of getting into venture? I mean, how old is Pretty Awesome? How hard has it have been to raise this as, I think, your first fund? You know, what have been the challenges for you personally?
Yeah, the good question. I wanted to elaborate more as well on the deal flow, especially like when people are diverse and then you have diverse team, you can get so much like a deal flow from different sources you would never expect of if you just like a typical, you know, traditional environment, let's say in finance, and then you're coming from finance and you never were interested in any other things. Whereas when you have a diverse culture or like diverse people on your team, they can tap into their networks that could be super different. So overall, you can cover a lot of areas, a lot of overlook industries, which is the beauty of diversity and like diverse teams, as we discussed. In terms of the challenges that I faced raising the fund, or, you know, like having the fund, is so I have quite a special situation. So I have two partners that are extremely well known in specific areas. So one is a bit of a tech guru and another is probably one of the best known VCs in Europe. So as well as like I was able to build a track record by doing private investments already. So while it's a first time fund, it's a fund that comes from people that have been working together and that the investments that have been made also having good successes. So really, I guess the biggest issue that I face right now, so the challenge is to taking the time out to be able to raise the fund, but at the same time working quite closely with companies in the portfolio. So we are not in a situation where the most people are the first time managers that needs to focus solely on the capital raise. But so I'm in a situation where we have already a portfolio of companies to work with, which is great. But of course, as well, like that there is a challenge because of COVID and the COVID restrictions on traveling, right? For someone who likes to meet people face to face, it's very challenging. So raising the fund with some travel limitations is always an issue. But overall, I would say I'm going to start the roadshow in a couple of months' time. And given the interest it is already generated, so I'm quite hopeful that I will be able to close the fund ASAP and continue our investment journey.
That's really interesting, because you've got two sides of the coin there, right? So a lot of VCs have said, well, in a Zoom world, they're getting through more deals than ever because, you know, they're no longer quote unquote wasting time, you know, getting founders over to their offices and having to travel and so on. But I guess, yes, on the fundraise, like on the capital raising side for the VCs and from LPs, I think almost to an extent, there's a larger bias for the LPs to want to meet the person in person, because again, you know, they are putting a lot of their financial kind of wealth in your hands. And I can understand how that is an important factor of raising the kind of fund itself, right?
Yeah, it's the same as, if I can just like say something here, it's like the same as us as VCs, like we're meeting entrepreneurs. If it's a very interesting company, you want to understand straight away. And it's all about as well, like an energy and new feeling that you have. And sometimes having the Zoom calls is quite tricky because if you can't really feel this energy, you can't feel the drive. And so you need to spend more time with people. And especially if you're just talking about the bigger checks, right? So it's always great to spend more time just to understand what drives this person, why they are on this journey, what they're trying to solve. And so the same as with LPs.
Yeah, it's odd because you don't tend to think of VC as being like a people-driven business model, but actually it is, right? You think about it entirely in terms of finance, right? Checks being written and portfolio goes either growing or not growing or whatever it might be. But actually it comes down to, you know, to your earlier point, you're investing directly in the person as much as the venture and the idea. And equally, you need to be able to have faith, both that, well, not faith, but I guess the confidence that that person is going to be able to deliver the results that you need to generate, right? You touched on something earlier, right, in terms of deal flow, which I thought was really interesting. So obviously, yes, diversity leads to more deal flow potentially from different kind of sources, but equally, the way that you source deals even today, I think, has probably changed, but certainly in the last year and a half. So talk me through kind of where you're seeing your deal flow coming from at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, like, first of all, and for the most, I'm very open. So I, as being an immigrated tech talent myself, so I'm on a Tech Nation visa and absolutely in love with this program. Tech Nation, I think, is great for people who just come into the UK and embark on this tech journey. There are a lot of immigrated talents that come in from the Tech Nation, like with a Tech Nation visa. There are a lot of people in universities, but then at the same time, when you have a diverse network, and I do believe that in order to succeed, you need to have a diverse network, not only with financial professionals or someone who is in tech, but also you need to tap into more like creative industries, right? And even a lot of creators can give you a lot of insights. And we all know that now it's an era of creators. And then a lot of things are created for the creators right now from the financial point of view and then from then how they can store their, be the owners of their content. So there is always interesting things that you can just pick up from diverse crowd. And then that's why I'm very open to receive any messages through across all the social channels. There is no secret that a lot of VCs now started to look even like on Instagram and looking at some companies there, which I feel it's a great source as well, just to see some founders and get, you know, get their contacts, for example, or like Twitter or anything if like people are writing some piece of content, which we do at Pretty Awesome as well. So yeah, there is no right or wrong way you can find the deals. Sometimes it can be even random connections that you met someone in the plane and they're like, hey, I'm actually working on this, a new company. Do you want to have a look? Or like, oh, I have someone who just, you know, getting started their process with VCs. It's all about your understanding of the world and be open to meet people. And this is like, that's why I'm saying that early stage venture is all about people. It's all about your attitude as well to people and how you like, in a way, treat people around you.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, like, it opens up a whole other kind of conversation as well, because you're seeing more and more VCs going onto those kind of social platforms and becoming marketing engines. Obviously, we've seen a lot with Andreessen Horowitz as an example recently, have created a whole content kind of machine. And it's now working both ways. In the old days, I guess it was quite a closed loop where you had a certain group of individuals that had inside network and inside connections, to your point, like, you know, whether it's from engineering or finance, etc. Whereas now you've got much broader pool of people, both on the VC side as well as on the kind of founder side. And therefore, where they are coming together is not where they used to come together. It's no longer kind of those traditional mechanisms. And I think it's really interesting that, you know, you're looking on Instagram and Twitter and so on, because you may actually be finding presumably businesses that aren't even looking to raise, they're not actually traditionally going out there and pitching necessarily right now to raise capital. Are you kind of cold approaching businesses that you think are interesting and saying, hey, listen, we're pretty awesome. This is what we do. We think your business looks really exciting. We'd love to invest. Or is that still one step too far?
There is, again, no right or wrong answer here. So, for example, one of our latest investments that we've done, we were like tracking company for almost a year before we made our investment. That time, the person was living a big UK unicorn, and then he was just thinking about this idea stage of how to start a company. But like this founder struck me immediately that he had like this bright personality and a really strong vision, what he wants to build. And I said, well, I want to be in touch. And as funny as it sounds, because of there are a lot of memes now on Twitter about like VCs, let me know how I can be helpful. But I said to him, let me know how I can be helpful. And like did some intros to him. And then we started to talk and we ended up investing in him 9 months later. And sometimes it's all about you're meeting someone and someone is just about to start a company and you help them with intros. And like I'm all about sharing and I'm all about sharing my network, because I believe this is all about transparency, early stage and tech. And luckily we have this industry, which is awesome and open, and people are willing to meet other like-minded people, share ideas. And what I feel it's much more better right now, the environment, as it was maybe 6 years ago. Everyone wants to be in tech. Everyone wants to be helpful.
I think that's incredible, because like, again, 6 or 7 years ago is when I kind of got into technology and came back to the UK. I wasn't quite an immigrant, but I'd left for 10 years and came back. But the interesting thing was that at that time, it was, as you said, it's a very kind of closed environment. And now it's so open as to be, you know, those barriers have all been kind of lifted. And I think that whole issue of VCs saying they want to be helpful, but then not necessarily being particularly helpful has changed. I mean, like there are a plethora of kind of VCs out there who, you know, I know personally will help out with introductions, you know, to individuals, to other businesses, etc., even if they aren't investing in yours, because, you know, success is important. And, you know, within this sort of environment, to your earlier point, you don't know whether something is going to happen today, tomorrow, 6 months or 9 months down the track. And actually paying it forward might mean that you get first check into the next unicorn, right? And that's a very, very powerful thing.
But there is two things like I wanted just to add on this, because of, again, like how you can be helpful and then why VCs are saying this. And then sometimes they're not helpful after that. I feel it's important to clarify that as a VC, you have, let's say, 300 emails per day. You have like a portfolio of companies you work with, and you also need to be involved in many things at the same time, right? Because of like, it's a job where you wear a lot of hats at the same time. So I think like if someone wants something from a VC, sometimes it's better to follow up. It's just, you know, it does not take a lot of things, but just to follow up and say, hey, this is the thing that we agreed on, or this is the thing that, because sometimes people are busy and unfortunately they really want to be helpful, but sometimes it just takes a little effort just to push them, because of they might overlook your message, right? Sometimes it's just all about the simple human interaction. And at the same time, while the industry is very open and transparent as it was 6 years ago, I agree. I was talking to one of our founders, and this is the reason as well why we focus on immigrated talents first. When they came from Iran, like back then, they started a company and they tried to reach out to people and no one really wanted to speak to them. And really, like, it struck me because of that. That's a great team and they have like all the credentials. But when you're coming to the UK, because of they didn't really have this common network, they were outsiders, and it was quite difficult for them to build this network and credibility. So now obviously they're paying back and they're willing to take calls and, you know, give up their times for someone who is starting their, like, a new venture. But back then, that was a tricky one. And if you don't have the validation of this close circle, no one will pay attention to you, right? Even now, we've seen companies, they don't really have this network. So, and I feel this is my job. And then what's exactly I'm doing in Pretty Awesome. We are helping immigrated founders. And then we want to give them this credibility and do our due diligence and bring other people on board on this journey and help them to succeed in, you know, in the UK and outside of the UK. Could it be US or could it be, you know, Asia, to build like a really awesome companies?
That's wonderful. I mean, I think the more kind of stories like this that I hear, the more kind of enthusiastic and hopeful I become about where we're heading, you know, after a year and a half of some pretty, pretty tough times. So I just wanted to kind of ask you as a parting thought, if there was one thing, if one word of advice that you had for anyone either getting into venture or getting into kind of technology or startups, what would be that advice from your point of view? What is the one thing that you would suggest?
I suggest like start to deliver value immediately without waiting for a job. Because of that's the biggest mistake people can do is just like to think that once they get a job, they will start learning and starting to deliver it. But then people actually willing to work with doers, like people who already know what needs to be delivered. Or they can just approach people and say, hey, I know like you're struggling with this. I've done this before. This is my solution. So that are the people who actually get in the jobs, what I've seen from my experience.
Yeah, so don't wait for life to catch up with you. Go and grab life yourself, right? Like start building, start shipping.
Yeah.
Get stuff done.
Exactly. Start networking, start delivering this like a common network and maybe introducing people to each other and then start like bringing like some deals. If you're talking about the venture, if you want to break into the venture capital industry, start delivering deals. Maybe start your own investment thesis. If you have a unique perspective on the world. And if it's a very interesting one, you will be heard for sure.
Amazing. Jano, I really want to thank you for joining me today to take the time out of your busy schedule to talk to us. Thank you so much. Where can our listeners find you? Is the best place Twitter, LinkedIn? Where's the best place to look for you?
Yes, Twitter or LinkedIn. Yes, I'm Twitter Jana VC. And on LinkedIn, I'm Jana Abramova. I'm very happy to meet tech entrepreneurs or like tech crowds overall.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Jana. Have a great week ahead.
Thank you, Arish. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Nothing Ventured, an Emerge One production. As always, we'd love to get your feedback on our conversations, your thoughts, as well as topics or guests you'd love to hear from. Drop us a line on social media or via one of the links in the show notes. But for now, be well, and I hope to catch you on the next episode of Nothing Ventured. I mean, what have you got to lose, right?